This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings Zeedee right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of Zeedee Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, Zeedee and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm Zeedee Donahue.
And we're just having a little carefree, summery podcast today. I asked in the Facebook group about people's favorite podcast moments, and we have a few ourselves. And so we thought we would share them and just give everybody a little flashback and a laugh.
I'm trying to find my notes to see if I have anything good to say. To see where yours is. Or what I think is good to say.
Well, I do like this one, so I'm going to share before I share mine.
These are my two favorites that I have on the top, but go ahead.
I have a favorite, though, that isn't, I don't know, it's podcast related because it happened during the podcast, but that's about it. Okay, so... All right, Casey says one of her favorite moments was, quote, "I'm not that bitch," unquote.
That happened, I thought that happened like only during the podcast. I thought we always.
Well, I think you said that, you know, it just originated there that we were talking about highly underpaid, underappreciated instances.
Right. Pants for $1.50 or whatever.
Sewing for people or something. Not that we have never donated our time, blah, 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 because we get that sometimes. But, you know, sometimes I bet all of you listening have experienced instances where your skills have been underappreciated or undercompensated in an inappropriate fashion, right?
Right.
And so Zeedee said, she's like, "I'm not that bitch."
Not anymore, I'm not.
And we made business cards. Do you remember this?
"I'm not that bitch."
Yeah. And they included. Now, here's, okay.
You can put the phone number of another seamstress on the back that could help you or whatever.
Yes, but I want to clarify because I was like, oh, somebody could take this the wrong way. Because I'm not saying that I'm not that bitch and this person is. I'm saying, "I'm not that bitch. Find someone else and you will pay them accordingly."
That was the whole idea, okay. Is that you put someone else's phone number on it. And they said, "Yes, I'll be glad to do that to you for $5,000.
Right.
And so the person would get the message that you were worth something too.
Yes. Right. They would understand, here is a person who does this professionally and often, and they will charge, and here it is. But for a while, after we made those, you know, I just thought they were hilarious. But I was like, I don't want people to think that we're saying that, it's okay to do that to somebody else. You know what I mean?
Well, we got feedback sort of there on some of that stuff about, I volunteer my time here. Oh, no, we have done that. It's the person that says, "You should do this," assumes that your time is free and you should work for them
they're not saying, "Oh man, there is this great need that exists." They're just like, "I need this thing
done,
and I don't want to pay
"You need to hem my pants for me because I exist."
You have a sewing machine, so certainly you do this.
I heard the most fantastic story this weekend.
Did you?
Okay, yes.
Well, please share.
It was from a retired naval officer, right?
Okay.
And I've been doing a lot of boating, right? So all the guys get around and they have their head down in the engine rooms of all these boats and they think they can look at them and fix them or something. I don't know. But anyway, this guy has this story. You know, like I said, retired Navy. And he said, the guy says, you know, so they had this new whatever, big, Navy boat, whatever it would be called. He was much better at this than me. But it was some big, huge,
Okay, they had a big boat on the Lake of the Ozarks.
No. This is the Navy has this boat.
He's in the Navy in this story. And they get a new big Navy.
And they get this big new Navy, aircraft carrier or something, right?
Yeah.
and it just won't work.
Oh, like no.
They turn the key or whatever they have to turn, you know, and it like sputters and stops, and it sputters, and they've had everybody in to fix it.
Did you turn it off and turn it back on again?
Exactly.
No.
Is it plugged in? Does it have gas? All this crap, you know. Is it in gear? But whatever they do with boats.
Sure,
You know, all this stuff, and they called in all of their, like, you know, high-level engineers and, you know, even the people that, like, created this, you know, on the drawing table, and nobody could fix this boat. So they finally give up, and they call this guy, you know, that was in the Navy for, like, 45 years, retired when he was, like, 70 or something, you know, and he's this old guy that hangs around boatyards, you know.
But that's not the guy you're talking to.
No.
Okay.
It's just his story. He's telling me about
story.
This guy. So
Understand.
They bring in Mr. X-Navy Man, right?
Who has
all the knowledge in the world, right?
Yeah.
And he goes up and he listens to him, and he listens to, he's trying to start it or whatever, and he listens, and he says, "You got a hammer," you know, and they go, "Well, yeah, what size?" You know, and they bring him a hammer, and he just goes, bam, like right on the side of, part of the engine or something. He goes, "Try it now." Boom, 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 boom. It's going, right? And they go, "Oh, man. Oh, wow. Well, how'd you know that?" He goes, "Well, I've been around boats all my life, blah, blah, blah." So they get a bill from him a couple days later, right?
$50,000.
$20,000.
Oh, he undercharged him.
He undercharged. And they go, hey, we're the United States Navy. We can't just pay a bill like this without it being itemized. You were only there for like 5 seconds and you used the side of a hammer. You know, you can't, like, we can't justify this. He says, "Oh, I can send you a bill."
An itemized bill.
Right, itemized. First item is hit the engine with the side of a hammer.
And that item equals?
$50, right?
Oh.
The knowledge to know where to hit the engine with
was
the hammer was 19. Yes. I'm like, it's a perfect story.
Oh, you said 50, not 500.
I said 50.
Okay,
right.
I'm sorry.
So it was,
19, 9, 5.
Yeah, yeah. 19, 9, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. So, I mean, I thought, that's a sewing story.
It is.
Because it's not just a sewing story. It's not just a boat story. People deserve to get paid for their knowledge, for their experience. That's what I'm not that bitch is about.
There you go.
Okay. So
basically,
the Navy guy,
he said.
So basically, and the footnote on this guy's invoice was, "I'm not that bitch." That's right.
Well, yeah. So I'm glad that Casey, I believe, manages a European wax center.
Uh-huh.
Is her job, or she did at one point. And I know that estheticians can often face this type of assumption that you can just, like, do this real easy thing.
Well, you only spent 20 minutes with me or whatever.
Yeah, these eyelash extensions only took you this long. It's like, well, go to somebody who hasn't been trained and enjoy your eyelashes,
I'm running into that, like, in the boat world again with, like, canvases.
Don't tell people you sew.
I don't.
Yeah.
And they're like, "They charge me $3,000. Okay, $3,000. This is like a humongous boat canvas with snaps, and it has to fit to the frame. And, I'm like, 42 zippers that go 15 ways. Mm. And I'm like, that's nothing.
It's a
These
deal.
People, and they're like, "I'm going to go into the canvas business. I'm going to be a rich man,"
thing.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, that is the thing. Sometimes.
Then do it.
Sometimes you get someone who would be, like, willing to pay for it, and they're like, "Well, I'll do this to get rich," and it's like, because they think it's overcharged. They think the profit margin's too
and
high.
So it's not just your time. It's not just your bother. It's not just you, getting the materials together and knowing what to use. It's just, like, all that knowledge.
Yeah.
And there's never a job that's straightforward. I'm sorry. Very few. Maybe hemming a couple pair of jeans.
I got it.
Something simple, but very few jobs are straightforward
I've had quite a few things pop up for me in my life where people are like, "Okay, so can you do this?" It's just, it's so simple. It's really simple.
That's how they
talk
to you.
It's not hard. And I'm like, "Well, then you fucking do it."
Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly. No, that is exactly
it's
true.
It's already an explicit
episode.
I am
very careful when I talk to people about, you know, that are giving me a service or doing something
right.
like that, because I don't know how hard it is.
No,
maybe.
You know what? I'm the best customer.
Oh, I am too.
I'm always like, hello, how are you doing today? This is what I need. Tell me what it costs so I know how to budget
right.
for that. Like,
so if anybody out there has ever been a server or a waitress or a waiter
yeah.
or whatever you want to call it, I have been. And you know how you feel when you go to a restaurant. You know how hard those people are working. They might not be right in front of your face,
right?
You know, the whole time or whatever, but you know they're working hard to get their job done.
Casey also says that her local Baby Lock dealer owes us a debt of gratitude or perhaps a commission.
Well, just give her
yeah,
give her contact information.
You know our address, Casey.
We might know her.
Yeah, anyway. All right, so now let's take a moment. And I'm going to share my favorite podcast.
I wonder if I have it written
moment.
In my notes. That's what I'm
because wondering. I know one of yours aligns with a few others
right.
that were here. Okay. Like I said, this has nothing to do with sewing at all, but it's really hilarious. So sometimes when I speak, like, and I'm thinking, I'll like close my eyes for a second, right?
Oh, this, I have this one down. Yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I do.
I'll close my eyes for a moment. And this is all, this can be edited. Okay, this is not a live thing. We know.
Our podcast is not purely live.
No.
We record it live is what
yes.
we do, unscripted.
I mean, you can't right. record a podcast. Whatever. Anyway, we can edit things out, but we are performers, and I guess sometimes we want to make it easy on Sam. We're trying to make it easy on Sam, even though we're recording this episode a little last minute. Okay, so sometimes when I'm thinking, I close my eyes. And one time I did this, and the way we're sitting is
We pretty much sit across from each other.
Sit across from each other, and there's a sewing machine on the table right in front of me, or like right to my right. And I close my eyes.
It's to my left.
I closed my eyes to think about something, and then I opened them, and ZD was just gone. She was nowhere to be found, and I was like, I'm just going to keep talking.
And you didn't hear me leave either, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I was like, what? I would have heard her. We're on rolly chairs, and ZD, no matter how graceful she is, does make a sound when she leaves a room.
I mean,
you
our
know.
Floors are hard.
Yeah,
there's no
okay.
carpet. There's
okay.
yeah.
She doesn't just float everywhere. And I was just like, where is she go? Like, or whatever. And so then, all of a sudden, you pop up, and you had, like, not been feeling good or wanted to stretch or something, and she had... you know, slightly scooted the chair away and bent over at her waist, like putting her chest down on the top of her thighs, like head between the knees, you know, or whatever. And the way the machine was and everything, I just couldn't see you. And I was like, what? WTF? I was like, where did she go? And so then you come up and we continue and we take a break and we do normally like pause recording, take a quick break right. to regroup. And I was like, Mom, I didn't know where you were, and you didn't realize that I was, like, bewildered
right,
about
right.
this. I was like, I couldn't see you where you were in relation to me, and I had no idea where you'd gone. And I was like, okay, but I guess the ironic thing is I could have just been like, pause, hello, where are you, you know?
Right.
But I didn't. I felt like I had to go on for some reason. I don't know why.
Because you were just taken off guard.
I yeah. guess, but I was like, where the hell did she go? I can't even see her. So I think I attribute this to, like, you being kind of short and flexible and the machine being in just the right place that I couldn't see you. Well, maybe we'll have to include, like, a visual aid and so you can tell what the heck I'm talking about and how ZD can just disappear under a table, you know? So... that is one of my favorite podcast moments.
And I have that down in my notes as Mallory opened her eyes and I was gone.
Yeah, I was like, my mom and I were podcasting and she just disappeared one day. All right, well, let's take a quick break and come back to some more favorite podcast moments. ZD, Wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
All right, we're back. ZD, share a personal moment.
Well, I think my most memorable, and because we don't script, you know, we get surprised.
Sometimes it's gold.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I mean, I'll tell you, so we were doing straight of grain, cross grain. We were doing grain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we were sort of describing how fabric was made.
Right.
And and it was brought up that, you know, cross grain, right? And
straight of grain.
Straight of grain used to be referred to as warp and weft more commonly. It still is.
Right, but it was, I understand.
But it was more commonly. You know, you didn't call it straight and cross, right? You called it warp and weft, like other things change. And I said something like, the way I would remember warp is like the length, like warp speed. And then I said, and the weft, and I just all of a sudden said, you know, there's the warp and the weft. How did I say it?
No, you said the weft runs from right to weft.
Right, from the right. The weft runs from right to weft. That's
yes.
What I said, yeah. And I just thought that was just, like, so funny.
No,
and I just, like, surprised. And, of course, now that's how I use it.
Someone
that's
else.
That's how I remember it. You know, the warp. Or, you know, the weft is from right to weft.
Right to weft. Someone else, discovered that independently and posted another Facebook. Or, you know, said it. I'm sure somebody said it before, you know. But I was like, yeah, we discovered that in our podcast. And Jillian says that warp speed, she could never remember the distance for it. And actually, I don't remember the warp speed as well as the weft to right.
Right. But the only way I could remember it at one point was
the warp speed.
I hadn't thought of the weft yet.
Okay, so the warp speed is the warp of the fabric is parallel to the selvage, and it's longer.
And it's long. It's so you just goes on and on and on.
And on.
So you can get up some warp speed,
yeah,
is how I would think of it.
You keep rolling out the bolt, and the length that you cut is along the warp, okay?
Right.
And then the weft is from selvage to selvage,
right.
From weft to right.
From weft to right. Yeah.
So it's not like warp speed's, you know, truly unlimited.
It just
felt like such
a clever thing.
It is very,
you know?
You're so
clever.
I mean,
it just did.
Yeah, so Jillian said warp speed, and then Fred said from weft to right. And then Jillian said warp speed sticks better in my brain for some reason. So clearly, you know, it can,
whatever works for you, right.
That was a popular one.
So which one sticks with Fred?
Fred's weft to right.
Okay.
Jillian's
warp
speed.
That makes sense that Fred would be weft to right, yeah.
Jillian is Cynthia's twin. Cynthia is the maker she makes lots of floral, beautiful things.
They're each other's twins.
Yes, they're each other's twins. All right, Diane says, well, first of all, everybody wants a Sewing Out Loud retreat, so we'll get on that. Especially things, you know.
I have it in my mind. We could have this retreat where we go someplace, and you and I just sort of sit, like, you know,
I think
on
we
these
just,
thrones,
just hang out,
you know, and people just bring us things and talk to us and tell us how we've entertained them for all these years.
We've thought about. We were mapping out an event, kind of like when Jerome was really little baby,
right?
And we knew it wouldn't happen for a while.
Probably like 2 years or so.
And then the pandemic
About the time the pandemic started,
yeah.
Yes.
And we thought we would like to have some kind of self-sewn prom where you wear anything you're proud of. Okay, so like if it's a formal dress, great. If it's an apron, if it's a pair
of overalls.
If it's
a nightgown, if it's your underwear.
Swimsuit.
Yep, go for it.
Okay, so basically we would have like a dance.
What if somebody shows up like with their menstrual pad on?
More power to them. Just like make a dress out of the menstrual pad.
There you go. That would work too. Or an apron. Yeah.
So anyway, we thought that that could be part of it. And we thought that people could bring, if they could, like a project in progress or something that we could help troubleshoot. And then maybe we would have like a few demos of techniques as well. But, you know, maybe do some fitting stuff, some measuring workshops. But that might be a nice thing just to ask in the group. Like, if there was an event, what would you like to see at it? Yeah. I like to overthink these things.
Of course you do.
You know, like just like everything else. Yeah. So, anyway, be good to get some feedback. Diane says, there have been so many times the two of you have given me a giggle, but mostly joining the Sewing Out Loud community has given me the confidence to try techniques in the sewing world I never knew were possible. The community you've built feels like my personal friends, even though I've never met any of them. Since my mom passed away, I don't know a single person who sews, so these have all become my people. Thank you for all you do. Oh, Diane.
That's nice.
Like, real nice. Thanks, and I'm glad that we can give you a giggle, because we need some giggles these days.
Giggles are good.
Okay, get this one. This actually harkens back to the I'm not that bitch thing. Ariel says, I have learned so much about fabric and garment construction from listening to your podcast. Listening to it has completely changed my sewing game. I just finished listening to the So You Want to Costume a Show series. I almost skipped these episodes because I don't want to costume a show, but I decided not to skip any episodes. I now have a new appreciation for costuming, and I thought I appreciated it before. The level of creativity and ingenuity is inspiring. I just adore you guys and this amazing community you've created. And I commented back, Ariel, I'm so glad you still don't want to costume a show. Good idea. I mean, talk about something that really, you know, gets undervalued, and it's
really
gotta be
does get undervalued.
It's got to be a labor of love, yes. And that's fine. And we've done a lot of those too. So, oh, get this, Mom.
That would be probably, you know, right above doing all of the bridesmaids, you know, dresses for someone's wedding or something. Oh my gosh, go ahead.
Well, I don't think any. I mean, I think this is supposed to be under wraps a little bit, but as many of you know, I was cast as Big Allison in Fun Home last year. Was that last year?
Well, the year before.
Yeah, technically
it was cast in
2019.
Right.
And then we were supposed to be in 2020, got canceled.
Performance was 2020,
yeah, performance was 2020, got canceled.
Which didn't happen.
Due to the pandemic, but they think they're going to do it in the spring of 2020.
And
22.
We still have that fabric we had all
and
rolled
we do,
out.
And I almost,
we had all this fabric
I
rolled out at the time.
I almost used it for something.
We had all this fabric rolled out at the time. And finally, like after about 8 or 9 months, we rolled it up, sadly.
Yeah. So anyway, we might be costuming that show again. So it might be costuming.
It's okay if you're in it. I'll do it.
Right. that's kind of. It's kind of where
I mean,
I'm at right now.
We have just went through, because theaters have been closed, and now they're, of course, reopening this year, this season. And we are going through everybody asking us when they ask you this, who do you know that can costume a show? Sometimes they are asking you.
They're asking.
So, yeah. But, you know, I'm like, just don't know. Just not, you know, I mean...
Well, a lot of those people had to find different jobs.
They had to do they had to do other things. They could couldn't wait around. You know, it's just so things are hard in the entertainment business for some people.
It might take a while for those people to
come back
to that profession, especially if like they remember how very scary it was.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like obviously it's not just for the entertainment industry; it's for a lot of industries.
Right.
You know, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Beth says, not sewing related, when Zeedee said she can't hear or concentrate until she puts in her contacts, same here. I never knew anyone who shared this phenomenon with me. So
it only happens to geniuses, just so you know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And forward-thinking people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kim says, so many. Threading with the presser foot up was actually a really big help for me with my serger. Woo, spread it.
Spread it. Love.
Here's the deal. All of you listening right now, find like two people this week to tell Thread With Your Presser Foot Up, and we can change the world.
No
okay?
joke.
We can change the sewing world.
Oh, man.
So much. Kim says, always test has become a real big mantra for me as well. I have just felt like such a part of your sewing community, which has given me the confidence to try anything because I know if I have a question, I know where I can get it answered. And Kim is somebody who makes clothing and sells it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like to watch her do that because it seems to be a really joyful experience for
right.
her. And I like to see that happening, especially after, you know, you and I feel a little jaded.
Yeah, I'm just into the now just making things to give away.
Yeah, she.
Yeah,
I
don't want any expectations other than my own.
So we haven't had guests on the podcast before, but I've considered maybe, you know, starting that in some way or something. And I was like, it would be neat to just interview Kim and be like, how do you find this fitting into your life well? And,
right.
and because it can fit into your life.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Obviously.
I know I'm jaded. But,
we're jaded.
You know. And I sewed for so many years for others, sometimes for nothing, sometimes mm-hmm. for, you know, money to get extras sometimes when
yeah.
I had another job to, you know, so we could go on a big vacation, you know, or whatever. And, you know, it has been a lifelong skill. And hey, speaking of pandemic, all those people that were like, so, and then all of a sudden,
pandemic.
You couldn't find a sewing machine,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Because everybody wanted to sew a mask. Isn't that funny that skill is worth something?
Yeah.
Like saving your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was Kim's favorite. And then I'll share one more here. Da-da-da-da-da. Well, hold on. Here we go. Heather, sorry. I was trying to find it. Okay, this isn't a funny moment, but there was a podcast a while ago on testing things, for example, making muslins, testing seams, etc. And just the nugget that you don't have to test if you don't want to, but you can and should test everything that is worth the time, effort, and supplies to you. That's a lesson I have applied to sewing, art, gardening, and beyond.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember if we quite framed it this way in the episode,
mm-hmm.
but all of your experience that you have accumulated
right.
was testing.
That's why the guy with the hammer
was like $20,000.
Get $20,000 for one tap.
Yeah. So you, I hope that story is true. Because, I mean, not to degrade your experience, Mom, but I could see somebody at the lake, like, kind of, you know, having a couple beers. And
nah.
telling a story.
Not going to work.
You believed him.
The night before we went on this, you know, little excursion, right, I had to replace Velcro on our cockpit cover. And, of course, I'm down in the living room, you know, with the sewing machine on the piano bench, and I'm sitting on a little kid's chair, you know, sewing this Velcro on. And I thought, I'm only doing this because I want to stay married.
Yeah.
You know, my husband's like, this won't work anymore. What are we going to do? I made him carry the machine down, you know,
right.
just so he could be part of the labor of all of it. Yes.
Yeah.
But, and you know, I'm glad I can do that. You know why? Do you know how long you wait in a boat town?
Yeah.
To get your Velcro sewn on? Could be weeks, could be months. They are that backed up.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, well, this is just our fun little favorite, you know, favorite parts of the podcast.
Wait, do you want me to see?
Do you have another one? Do you have another one?
Let me see if I do. I want to see what my list says, if we missed anything.
Okay.
Oh, we talked about quilting, and we talked about a quilting bar, apparently.
No, because
you're
talking about seam guides.
Seam
guide
yeah.
for the quilting is called a quilt bar.
Right.
What do you order at a quilt bar?
A Bargello shot.
No, that was a good
So that was
one.
Pretty funny.
That
and
was
I think
a good
we also
one.
Had some other
there
alcoholic
were some other
references
drinks,
in there.
Yes.
I can't remember
Which
what they were.
Which is funny because Zeddy and I actually aren't very big drinkers.
We're not real big drinkers.
But
we're,
if I was going to have...
We're just not good at it.
If I was going to have something, I'd have a Bargello
and
shot.
And then, I don't know why, but I wrote down so long and so happy because... Mm-hmm. I think we've figured this out that I did the first time I did this was like the 11th episode or something. You used to say sign off and I signed off however.
Yeah, you.
I think maybe it was just so happy sometimes.
Right.
Or whatever was, you know.
I mean, we could go back and listen and figure
that out. No, no. One of you can feel free. Anybody out there, feel free to do this. But I just think it's fun because I said that. And Mallory, like, looked at me, and I was like, oh, no, now she's going to make me do the ending over. And she goes, no, I like that. You should say that all the time. So that happened. I think it was around the 11th episode or something. So if you listen to the very, very early ones, the sign-off is not always the same. But I just think what was funny about it is you liked it, and I was afraid you didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I was afraid she's going to make me redo it.
Okay, well, I have to burst a little bit of a bubble because the Shipman Repair story is one that's been going around the internet.
Shipman.
The Navy repair.
No, he was telling it as a joke.
Oh, okay.
But he
okay.
is retired Navy.
But, okay.
Okay, no, he didn't say it was his story.
Okay.
You know, he was telling it. Like, but he is retired Davy.
There's a LinkedIn article about it. Somebody took the opportunity to put that content on LinkedIn.
But that is like so.
No, it's very good.
I mean,
good.
It's such
very
a good illustration of people and that your skill is worth something.
Absolutely.
Right? Not just, okay, just because I can do it in a minute and a half does not mean it's not worth anything.
Well, and so to Heather's point, you know, all the times that you tested, you know, such stitch let you know that this next
time. It'll work or it won't work.
Yeah, this next time when you're working in a real similar situation, you'll be okay doing that and you don't have to take like a ton of time.
Experience is valuable.
Yeah, experience.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to act like that was his story.
I'm trying to fact
check. But he truly is retired Navy.
Sewing Out Loud is just a beacon of journalistic truth, you know? So I was just fact checking. Okay, everybody.
No, they were all sitting around telling war stories, and that was one of his jokes.
Well, ZD, can you take it away?
With So Long and So Happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.